Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour, Mr. Humble at your service. Always a pleasure to be with you, and I think you're going to be glad you're hanging out with me because we got Mike Mitchell back on the show. Michael is our good friend. Mike is the author of They're Not Aloof, Just Generation X, and that'll give you an idea how long we've been talking to Mike, and he's one of the guys who helps us sort out this tete-a-tete that we seem to have quite often between the generations, the boomers and the Xers and the Ys and et cetera, et cetera. And he's our good friend, Mike Mitchell. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Jim. What a long, hard road it's been, huh?
Hey, what's going on out there in the world of the generations? How are these worlds colliding these days?
You know, since we kind of started this journey together, I don't even think how many years back, you know.
Seven.
One of the big changes now is 50% of the workforce now is Generation X and Generation Y, or if you refer to them as millennials. And the millennials especially, you know, just in the last 3 years have account for 20% of the workforce. So, you know, the dynamics of having four groups that are distinctly different in the workplace, it's the first time ever.
Remind us who the four are.
Yeah, you start at the young ones. Generation Y, you also hear them referred to as millennials or echo boomers or maybe 12 or 13 years old through their late 20s, called 28. Generation X would be like age 29 or so through their mid-40s, called 44. The boomers would be 45 through, call it maybe 63. And then above 63, you have the traditionalists or the war babies in that last generation.
Fewer and fewer of those all the time. In fact, my generation, your generation, the boomers, we're starting to take over that group.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, you know. The traditionalists used to be in leadership positions, the ones that were hanging on.
Right.
And obviously, with retirement and economic downturn and whatnot, you know, you have a lot more people in the mid-range of the workforce that are traditionalists working side-by-side with a 23-year-old, which creates its own interesting dynamics.
Do the traditionalists get along better with the young kids than the boomers do?
You know what? It's really funny you said that, man. Yeah, I would suggest that they do.
I would think that they might.
I would suggest that they do, too, because, number one, they don't see him as a threat.
Because I think my kids are nicer to their grandparents than they are to me.
Well, and I, you know, it's funny you said that. Metaphorically, honest to God, I don't text my kids nearly as much as my mom does.
Yeah. Well, see, you're not cool yet. Grandma's cool. You're not cool.
I can't get the cool with a bus pass.
I know. So okay, so how are we reconciling all these groups? Because you know I'm dealing with this. I'm working. Some of my customers are in the younger generations you're talking about. I've got employees who are millennials, and how do we reconcile all these guys?
I think you got two choices. You know, you can continue to live in a style and communicate in a style and lead and manage in a style that you grew up in, that is comfortable for you, and
you mean my way or the highway?
My way or the highway, maybe not that stern, Jim. I know you're not that stern, but you know, at the end of the day, I run this ship, and you can't.
It's not. This is not a democracy.
Yeah, I used to tell people. I'm ashamed to tell your listeners this. I used to tell people we don't delegate up in this organization.
Right. Well, you know, to me, the way. And somebody told me this a long time ago, before we even thought about generations like we do today, I'm talking decades ago, somebody said to me, you're either a leader or you're a driver. If you're in a position of management, you need to decide which you're going to be. Are you going to be a leader or a driver? And drivers make people follow them. Leaders have people who want to follow them.
And I think the role of a leader...
And I don't think that changes generation to generation. What do you think? I mean, it's all about respect and trust and that kind of thing. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think it's changed, but I think it's tweaked, you know, because I think the definition of a leader now also encompasses coaching,
yeah.
Mentoring.
Right. That's what I mean by leading, yeah.
Yeah, taking the time to learn about their their families. I mean, I know when I was in leadership with Yamaha and ran Golf and Utility for domestic and worldwide, you know, that person that was two or three levels down, if they were doing their job, I would smile and kind of patronize them. But in terms of taking the time to learn about what makes them tick when they walk out of the factory, I think that's definitely changed.
And, when I was coming up, I followed my bosses because that was what you did. Kids today don't feel that same kind of obligation, and they're only going to follow the people that they respect and admire.
Well, and we talked before. You know, it's interesting. I think...
I tell you what, Mike, hold on to that thought. I'm going to let you come back right back to that, right after these messages, right back with our good friend Mike Mead. So, Mike, give us your website, please.
www.unlockthemysteries.com.
All right. The book is called They're Not Aloof, Just Generation X. I'm at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Stay with us. 20 till.
I caught you running around, blowing my money all over this town, and I wouldn't be doggone. Hey, hey, I've been long gone. They say the neon lights are bright.
Welcome back, 17 till, a little bit of the Drifters bringing us back. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you'll check it out and use it to your advantage. We got no barriers to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us, use our stuff. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter while you're there. We'll send that to you every Sunday afternoon by email, get you ready for the week ahead. All the other things there at smallbusinessadvocate.com, articles, archives, Brain Trust members, the knowledge base, my blog, and our poll question. Every week we have a different poll question. We hope you'll take that time to let us know what you think about, what your thoughts are on our poll question, and when you give us your answer, you'll see what other people have said immediately. So check that out. And if you're on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Mike Mitchell is our guest. We're talking about the generations, dealing with the different generations, and we're talking about the importance of respect and trust, and how much more, Mike, that's how much bigger deal that is today than it was 30, 40 years ago.
Well, and it's interesting.
Between the generations.
It's interesting. You know, there was a study published earlier this summer, and the short version is this. CEOs that were interviewed suggested the biggest issues with their employees was now being overworked and overloaded because of cutbacks.
Oh, yeah, they're creating a casualty list.
And they said, you know, they feel pretty fortunate to have a job. Nobody's going to go anywhere. My biggest concern is they're overworked. When they interviewed the employees in the same organizations, upwards of 70% said that they were already looking or had found a job to leave as soon as they saw a slight upturn
in the
economy.
Oh, absolutely. I think there's going to be major turnover.
You know, but the amazing thing is the paradox and the disconnect.
Let me stop you for a second, Mike. But in that dynamic, as long as those people feel like they feel right now, they're sitting there with a lot of fear. And that's not good for the marketplace.
Well, and not only fear, but they're not giving 100% effort.
That's exactly right. When there's no trust, fear goes away, and so does creativity.
Yeah, and you hear the buzzword today, you know, engagement with employees. And the national studies, now that they've been doing it 5 years, from Gallup still reflect 7 out of 10 employees feel disengaged from the organization. And the data is mind-blowing. If you can get your engagement numbers to 50%, oftentimes it adds, I mean, listen to this, 3% net to the bottom line.
Right.
I mean, these are the documents. I mean, this is the data. It's no longer, you know, in the old days, people thought, if my people are more comfortable and feel engaged, you know, they're more likely to be productive, but there was no data.
Are there issues between the Gen X and Gen Y that have to be resolved? If we're managing, if you're a baby boomer and you've got 40-somethings, 30-somethings, and 20-somethings working for you, do you need to be paying attention to the relationship between those generations?
A little bit, and I think you can solve that by putting them on the same little mini teams within an organization to accomplish tasks. The only issue, and it's really not overtly significant, is that, you know, Gen Xers still kind of work to live. You know, their family and their personal life is paramount. The socio-demographic data on the Gen Y is they have a little more of that BMW capitalistic
thing
that made the boomers
like
famous.
They're a little more like the boomers, huh?
Yeah, come on, baby.
Interesting.
So I think if you have them work together to accomplish tasks, and I think your question is apropos because in 10 years it'll be a more interesting dynamic when the Gen Xers presumably are the leaders.
Right.
You know, now they're in middle management and upper middle management, you know, going into that middle 40s category. When they get to be 50 or 52 and you see more senior managers, it'll be really interesting for guys like me.
How do you think the world's going to look different in those days, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the world's going to look different. And, you know, we've talked before. I really believe that, you know, you take my work as an example. I mean, I work with a lot of big companies that get it. I also interview with a lot of companies that don't get it. And I think the small businessman, just because they're accustomed to people wearing a multitude of hats in the same organization, have a true advantage in engaging the younger generations. I think it's a huge boon for your listeners. You know, I was telling somebody on an interview yesterday, you know, my daughter, my 24-year-old daughter, can sit on the couch, she can text, she can watch a movie, and she can carry on two conversations. And I, you know, used to challenge her, and then I would test her, and she had her hand around all four issues. So I think the younger generations, you know, when you get an organization that's more traditional in their hierarchy, we've got a deep apprentice-like stepping process.
In small business, we collapse all that mostly, don't we?
In small business, that's collapsed. So I think, you know, that's a huge advantage.
It's another example that proves my prediction from 1998.
No question.
Which is that the 21st century would be the century of the entrepreneur.
And if I could tie the last interview in here for just a second,
okay.
Jim, you know, I think small businesses, I just happened to be listening to your segment, you know, where they were talking about websites for small businesses,
right.
and people starting websites. You know, one easy thing to do to really help attract and retain your employees is to put some of their comments on your website, your own employees and their pictures. You know, and people then feel a deeper sense of ownership.
And
in
customers
with
like
you.
That. Customers like that too.
Oh, customers love it. I mean,
it helps them to get engaged with the company because now we got real live human beings.
And like I said, it helps build pride in the organization. It costs you, you know, virtually nothing to put somebody's picture and a quote from them about how they helped a customer, or how the organization has given them additional skills, or how they love this market of helping small businesses grow. Just to put one or two of their comments on there. Now, next time you go to look for an employee, employees in interviews are so much more prepared. You know,
that's
they've searched
great,
you on LinkedIn, they've searched you on the website.
Mike. That's a really, really good suggestion. Give us the website again, please.
Mine is www.unlockthemysteries.com.
And the book is They're Not Aloof, Just Generation X, and where's that available?
You can buy that on Amazon. You can buy it online. You can buy it from my site. You don't see too many in the bookstores anymore, but
right.
All the websites got it.
Quick break, 10 till. Right back with Mike Mutzel. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Mike Mutzel is with us. He is at unlockthemysteries.com. Also, his book is called They're Not Aloof, Just Generation X. We're talking about the generations. Mike, I'm reading a book called The Wisdom of Crowds by James, what's his last name? I'll think of it in a minute. And he talks about how that if all of your smart people, let's just say all of your smartest people on any particular topic are Gen Xers, and the people who know the least are Gen Ys, and you put all the Gen Xers in a meeting and have them work on a project, they won't come up with as good an answer. The research shows that they won't come up with as good an answer as if you had some other people in the group that weren't they weren't experts on that topic. In other words, a mixed group will give you a better answer than a group of all experts. And is that a good reason to try to, as you said earlier, that seems to me to be a good reason to make sure that when you have a committee, when you have a group of folks, when you put a team together, that you don't put, you know, everybody of the same ilk together, so to speak.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any question that successful companies are practicing that technique across the board, you know, because at the end of the day, this issue of trust is so huge that if the boss says, go do A, B, and C, it's not nearly as effective as if the team comes up with the decision to go do A, B, and C.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and invariably, I mean, the worst thing that can happen is you get new, innovative, creative ideas. The norm is that they would come up with two or three ideas that you may have suggested anyway, or you could maybe subliminally steer them, or if they give you five ideas, positively reinforce the two or three that potentially you would have thought in the back of your mind. But the fact that they now have, they own it, and they have equity in that decision, the chances of them carrying it out on a more successful level are go up tremendously.
So how do we, but I'm still not sure that we figured out how to get all these. I mean, we got three strong generations in the same company, let's say. We got the boomers, we got the Xers, we got the Ys. Are you seeing conflicts out there, or are these people, and are they inherently getting along okay together?
You know, it's interesting. It depends on the culture of the company would be my answer. You know, I see companies where it's not a big issue, mostly those driven in IT and tech in some way, shape, or form, because even intuitively, the managers or even small companies have had to learn how to do it.
So you're saying the generations are not necessarily inherently at conflict. It may be the culture of the company that's creating the issue. And that's a very strong statement if that's the case.
Yeah, I'm saying, and I get asked this question all the time, I think there are definitive differences in the cultures, or excuse me, in the generations, but organizational cultures that communicate that, blend that, use it as an advantage versus others, it continues to be a hidden silo that kills productivity.
There is you and others have joined me on the show and talk about what people my age and your age should be, what we should be doing to bring along the younger generations. Isn't there a case to be made for talking to the younger generations about how to behave a certain way with the older folks, the folks who've forgotten maybe already more than they'll ever know?
I think, you know, I might rephrase it from telling them what they need to do to change, explaining what the expectations are and why they're different.
Yeah.
You know, we were
and,
talking
and,
off
and
the
how
air.
About how about maybe why their ideas are valid?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no question. But I'm saying, understanding that your boss isn't used to texting, understanding your boss isn't going to respond to you when you IM them in the middle
right.
of the day, you know, understanding that, you know, it's a stretch for them to consider telecommuting 2 days a week, let alone 5 days a week, but they may get there. You know, those kind of things, we were talking off the air. I'm working with a lot of universities now in grad school speaking to MBA students about what to expect from their boomer bosses. And it's interesting, isn't it? We always think about, you know, the manager not understanding the young people. And the young people, when they hear the reasons why the boomers have blind trust, how they expected the proverbial gold ring, how they feel as though they don't need to know that information, it's above my pay grade. You know, a Gen Y feels like there's no information in the organization that they shouldn't be privy to.
Right.
But
they may be wrong about that, and that's an education that they need. By the way, the author of that book, Wisdom of Crowds, is James Surowiecki. Hey, Mike, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Jim, you're the best, man. I practiced for today, man. I was getting ready.
Good job. Mike Mutzel, ladies and gentlemen, Mutzel, if you're Googling him. The book is called They're Not Aloof, Just Generation X. Thanks, Mike. We'll see you next time.
Gotcha, man.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that a ship in the harbor is safe. But that's not what ships were made for. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.